Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and I'm so excited to be broadcasting live here from the Roswell Infinity Studios at North Point Executive Suites. You guys are in for a special treat today. We have a guest here who is a force in the Atlanta startup community, and she has so much going on right now. I'm so honored that she's carved out a bit of her schedule to come be here talking about some really exciting things coming up in the months ahead for the Atlanta startup community. Want to let you know, if you're listening live, you can also follow us live on Twitter at NorthFultonBRX.com. Check out some live tweets and a behind-the-scenes look of us here in studio. And before we dive in, also huge announcement to make. You've heard me talking about it every week, but tonight is the night. WOE, Women Only Entrepreneurs, happening this evening at the Wimbish House. It's going to be an incredible evening for women entrepreneurs. And we have, as of right now, 6 tickets left. So I would love to see you there. Can't wait for all of those festivities. Head over to mastermindyourlaunch.com/events for all of the info. All right. Now, getting into today's guest, Jackie Chu is, like I said, a force in the Atlanta startup community. She's the founder of iFusion Marketing. She is a startup catalyst at ATDC. She is also the mastermind behind TEDx Peachtree and so many other things. And I'm so excited that she is here today in studio. Jackie, thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure to be here. And Stephanie, after hearing the introduction, I'm exhausted.
I can tell my caffeine is definitely kicking in, but I'm glad I had it to list off all of those things. I mean, yeah, you have a lot going on right now.
Only 3 things, actually. So yes, it's been a fantastic spring. It's really exciting. TED 2017 kicked off yesterday. Today is the second day of a 4-day sprint of goodness, actually, at TED 2017. And it's happening right now in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Right.
And so tonight, there's a very special presentation of TED called TED Cinema Experience. TED has partnered with Fathom Events to basically bring the TED experience live to everyone all over the world through Regal Cinemas here in the United States.
Wow.
So if tonight, starting at 8 o'clock, there will be a live showing of the TED Prize, the $1 million TED Prize winner, and his wish and his idea of how to spark change in the world, specifically in bringing healthcare to underserved countries. Very, very exciting stuff. So for those of you who are listening and interested, go to tedcinema.com. Or if you would like to hang out with the TEDx Peachtree team as we watch it from the Regal Cinema Perimeter Point, and that's the one right across the way from Perimeter Point Mall, then go to tedxpeachtree.com and click on the link for TED Cinema, and it will take you to the right theater.
I love it. I can only imagine, you know, streaming the TED Talks online is inspiring enough, but to actually get to be in a room with other, you know, like-minded people who are really interested in following these change makers, I can imagine what an incredible experience you guys are going to have tonight.
It's definitely a very different experience. I've had people ask, what is the difference between watching TED at home on TED Talks, TED.com, and going to a live event? Well, even in a live stream event, because you're watching the same talk and the same speaker together with others, there is an opportunity to discuss what you've all heard with each other. And it's always very interesting because everyone has a slightly different perspective and a slightly different takeaway. And the discussion and the conversation is actually what makes TED Talks come alive and become very relevant and contextual for each and every one of us. So it's that communal experience that cannot be found when you're watching TED by yourself at home.
100%. I mean, amazing content, but it goes to a whole new level when you add that community element to it. I would love to hear how you got involved in TEDx Peachtree.
Boy. So TEDx Peachtree is 9 years old, and this is our 9th annual TEDx Peachtree. So about, August of 2009, I essentially saw a random logo that said TEDx Peachtree on a friend, Mike Schenkel. Mike Schenkel, shout out if you're listening, on his LinkedIn page. And I gave him a call because I was familiar with the TED conference. And I asked him what that was. He explained it and confirmed my suspicion that this was indeed TED, the same TED. And I asked him, thinking that it would be impossible for someone like myself to get involved. And he said, oh, absolutely not. It's a new concept. This is 2009. It's a new concept. And it's a community-driven group that's being held under license from TED. And I said, well, how do I get involved? And he said, well, actually, in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks, we're having a planning meeting. Why don't you come? And I said, why, sure. I think I can clear my calendar and come for that. And I did. And that was August 2009. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. And so what, I mean, you guys are obviously, you know, kind of getting geared up for 2017. I'm sure that, I mean, it's evolved so much with each year. What can people look forward to with this upcoming TEDx Peachtree?
So last year we introduced our very first Cuatro de Mayo party.
Yes, because I was there.
Yes, you were. Because Cinco, as they say, it's just too long to wait. So we are having our second annual Cuatro de Mayo party at the Gathering Spot.
Love that venue.
And it would signify the kickoff of our 2017 season. Very, very exciting. The good news is the event is free. It's from 6 to 8. And once again, if you went to TEDxPeachtree.com, there's a link there that you can click on and RSVP for the event. What's more significant is we curate speakers from the public. This is a community-driven event and ideas come from the community in Georgia and beyond. And so anyone who's interested in pitching the idea for this year's TEDx Peachtree can come, and we will have a videographer to film a 1-minute pitch, which is a requirement of our submission process.
That's incredible that you guys give people the opportunity to come and pitch and to, you know, potentially be on that TEDx stage. Do you have a theme for this year? Are you still figuring that out?
We actually have a theme. We sort of premiered it yesterday at another program. So I wouldn't be untoward if I said our theme this year is beneath the surface.
Ooh. Okay. So what is beneath the surface?
That's exactly right. So we're going to be curating speakers whose ideas go beyond the headlines. They to address and explore the issues of today that affect us all today, both locally and globally. We're also curating for ideas that give us a peek into the future of what the future lies for all of us. And we're also curating for ideas that celebrate human ingenuity. So we're looking for 15. We will have 15 or so actual talks. And we're looking to also curate 3 performances.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So,
like performing arts, like dancing, music, spoken
absolutely,
word.
Absolutely. So, last year we had the Full Radius Dance Group. They were amazing. So, it's made up of folks who are in wheelchairs and folks who are not. And they gave us an amazing performance. And so, we're looking for the unusual, the mind blowing, jaw dropping types of performances.
I love it. I might have some names for you on that front. You know, if someone is listening right now and they're thinking, wow, this beneath the surface, you know, concept is really speaking to me, and they want to submit for it, is there anything that they need to know about, you know, what are you looking for in terms of the person, the amount of speaking that they've done in the past, you know, what kind of things do you guys look for in those speakers?
As Chris Anderson, who runs TED, says, there's nothing like an idea that's worth sharing. So first and foremost, we are curating for the idea. So as we're looking for that 1 minute video, what we're looking for is for the person to tell us what their idea is and why it's important to share with the TEDx community in Georgia and all over the world, because our flagship event is live streamed to the world, and we have audiences tune in from just about every continent every single year via live stream. And so we are first and foremost evaluating the veracity of the idea. That's one. Two, I would recommend that anyone who feels that the idea stands up to that sort of rigor, go to TED.com and do a keyword search for words that are related to the idea to see what's already been discussed and taught and presented on the TED stage in their particular area of expertise. And to essentially see if their idea is radically different from what's already been discussed. So we generally want to feature and showcase ideas that are quite different, that could help shift a mindset of a general public, or potentially even help folks think about something quite differently that they hadn't thought of before.
I love that. Well, and I love the theme that you all, I mean, just with so many headlines and movements coming about right now, mm-hmm. I can just imagine the opportunity for individuals to kind of tell their perspective. You know, we all kind of see everything through our own lens. And so I'm glad that you guys are creating a platform to really share so many different perspectives on topics that are really important and relevant right now. So I am super excited to see who gets selected.
We are too. So one final word on this. We do give higher weighting to ideas that are research-driven and science-driven. So it could be in the social sciences, the humanities, or the hard sciences, but we do give more weight to ideas that are research-driven. So most years we would have, off the 15 talks, perhaps two talks that are more on personal journeys and personal perspective type talks, but the rest are more around a novel or very unique approach to a certain issue, such as sustainable water, such as energy. So we are looking at the macro issues as well as the micro ones that affect us on a day-to-day basis.
I love it. And if you're listening and you want to get involved, you want to learn more, there's the Cuatro de Mayo party where you can come and meet some incredible people and start pitching your idea. And then all the info is at TEDxPeachTree.com.
It sure is. Yes, TEDxPeachTree.com. And Star Wars fans, because it is May 4th, extra points for the appropriate attire.
All right. So great people watching too. Good. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are sitting here with Jackie Chu, a force in the Atlanta startup community. Just got done talking about TEDx Peachtree, an incredible event coming on later this year, but would love to shift now to your work with ATDC. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what ATDC is?
ATDC stands for the Advanced Technology Development Center. And yes, many people have called it ACDC. it is full of energy, so I guess that's okay too. So we are Georgia's technology incubator. We are funded by the state of Georgia, and we have been around since 1980. And what we do is we help startups learn, launch, scale, and grow successful, disruptive, and sustainable businesses.
And you have events there for startups as well.
Sure. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Stephanie. We have possibly our largest event coming up May 11th. It's called ATDC Startup Showcase. There will be over 70 companies across multiple subsectors within the technology and life sciences space, exhibiting or showcasing. We will also be graduating four companies, four of our companies. or we're hatching them, as you would, since we're an incubator. Mm-hmm. And we also have 10 companies that will be doing a 3-minute fast pitch, which is quite exciting.
3 minutes?
They have three
Whoa,
minutes.
I can't wait.
It will be fast paced.
Yeah.
It will be exciting. We will also have a mystery keynote speaker that will be announced shortly. So lots of exciting things going. We typically have 800 or so people.
Wow.
It's at the Georgia Tech Conference Hotel in Midtown. And tickets available at atdcstartupshowcase.com. I believe it may already have expired, but there might be a 50% off a code, ATLSV. ATL, S as in Sam, V as in village. And that will save you 50%. The ticket's $25. I'm sorry, the ticket's $50 right now. So very, very exciting event for us. We will have companies ranging from a year old to 5 years old. So,
and what's the time for that event?
So that actually begins at, registration begins at 1:30 in the afternoon on May 11th. And it goes, the spoken program ends at 5:30, and we will all then proceed to the after party.
Always an after party.
Absolutely.
With the startup.
You work hard, you play hard.
That's true. That's true. You guys also have your Entrepreneur Night, an ongoing event that you and I caught up at recently.
Yes.
Yeah. Share a little bit about that.
Stephanie, you are quite the startup gal. So that is, that's open to the public. And that is the third Thursday of every month. So it's a great way to meet members of ATDC as well as staff members at ATDC and sort of get to know the culture, the feel over some adult libations and pizza.
Again, with the libations.
And pizza.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listeners, if you're out there and you're wanting to get more involved in the startup community, there are so many different events happening in Atlanta. And ATDC definitely has many of those. So you'll want to stay tuned to what they have going on and check them out. It's a great community and mentors there as well. I mean, all of the resources that you provide, you're really one of the first stops for so many startups in this community. So we want to thank you for all that you do.
It is our pleasure. I am a startup and innovation junkie, so this fits right into my DNA.
I love it. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about you and your journey pre-TEDx, pre-ATDC? You know, let's hear a little bit of how you got lumped into this crowd.
When I was 12 years old.
Going way back.
Well, yeah. Wow. So I'm a classically trained marketer. In the true sense of the word. And I started in lifestyle, consumer lifestyle marketing. Marketing those libations that we keep talking about, as well as consumer foods, consumer packaged goods. So classically trained and in a very, very traditional, very stereotypical products type of industry. I moved here in 97 for more opportunities. I moved here from Hawaii. Yes, I know. I get lots of people who go, why do you move from Hawaii? But it was a great opportunity at the time, and it was a nice change of scene. And at the time, let's see, 97, it was right after the Olympics. There was still a lot of excitement and buzz. And I started my career, my second career. So that's my second act here in a global marketing communications firm called Manning Salvage & Lee. And at some point, I got roped into a software launch. And then there was no looking back. And I just, and you know, that was basically the late 90s. And that was during the whole first dot-com bubble. And our firm at the time represented and launched eBay, a little startup called eBay.
Oh, yeah.
To much acclaim. And I had the opportunity and honor of working on that account.
Wow.
From Atlanta, along with some of the other accounts, of the startup accounts at the time that were in the news quite a bit. And so as a result, because of the successes that the whole firm had had with some of these startups then and that still exists today, we were very sought after. Our services were very sought after. So I sort of got sucked into the dot-com and startup ecosystem. And that was, that was 98 or so. And I really haven't looked back.
Well, what an exciting time then. But I can imagine you've seen, you know, so many trends and different innovations, you know, in that time since then. What's it been like to see this industry evolve, especially here in Atlanta, you know, this community evolve?
So the more things change, the more they remain the same. There's a certain cycle. For instance, those of you who remember the late 90s and the whole ASP model and ASP buzz, Stephanie's looking at me like, no idea. Yeah, she's you're too young, gal. That has evolved into cloud computing and cloud services. What was enterprise software is now SaaS. And on and on and on. So the more things, you know, and e-commerce got cars.com back then. Can you imagine trying to buy a car on a 56K modem? Do you even know what a 56K modem is? No idea, right? That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, things have really evolved from a standpoint of the infrastructure and the technology and even the programming languages that have made certain companies possible. I'll give you an example, Dropbox. Back in 2002, there was another person, actually, who I knew fairly well, who was a founder of another startup that I was a part of. He had the idea for a Dropbox-like startup in 2002. But he could not make it happen because the language, the programming language, the front-end programming language, hadn't evolved to be able to accomplish the syncing of the cloud folders with what's on your desktop, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what Dropbox does very, very nicely across multiple devices. So Dropbox came around and they were at the right time and the right place. Now they had to go through a lot of trials and tribulations to really start up and get their funding. It was a lot of hard work on their part. It wasn't an overnight success by any means, but they were able to do what they did with their product because of the evolution in the language. So I think one of the most interesting things, and now I'm really geeking out, is that a lot of success depends on the right time, the right place, and having technologies that your idea is dependent on to be evolved enough for you to be able to realize your vision.
100%. There's so much more beyond just the idea that will impact, you know, the likelihood of success. And another one being, you know, the person, the founder, the leader of the initiative. I know that as we head into this evening, you have an incredible event with TED, and I'll be hosting my own event as well for women entrepreneurs. And it's really important for me to help as many women entrepreneurs to be brave and be effective in the leadership of their idea. I would love to hear your perspective on the entrepreneurs themselves, how they show up in bringing their idea to life, and maybe some advice for how an entrepreneur can really be successful and taking an idea and making it a reality.
I'm about to say something rather controversial, but true.
Please
in my
do.
Opinion.
Yes.
I think the most successful entrepreneurs need to have a touch of delusion. And there's nothing, you know, do you know what separates delusional with visionary from visionary? You know what separates that, those two qualities?
What?
Success.
So, right.
A person is usually called delusional. An entrepreneur is usually called delusional or crazy many, many times until he or she achieves a certain level of success. Then all of a sudden,
then we can point it to, yeah.
That person is called a genius and a visionary. I mean, think Jeff Bezos, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the 90s, in the 14K modem, which you have no clue about, or 56K mm-hmm. modem, it was inconceivable. The experience is inconceivable of e-commerce, of buying anything online was inconceivable. It was just not a very good, it was a terrible experience. Not even a very good, it was terrible. But he persevered and he basically outlasted
right.
everyone else. And he waited for the technology to catch up with his vision. And now he is at the forefront having accumulated and amassed enough equity to be able to push forward his vision. And now he's creating the future versus waiting for everyone to catch up to him. Now he's creating and he's pushing forward. So I'd say the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur is being is having a vision and sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second hardest thing is actually knowing when to say, okay, to turn it in.
What I love about what you're saying, first of all, the persistence, you know, factor that a lot of people, they do get discouraged at the first sign that someone says you can't do that, or maybe they have, you know, they put something out there, it just doesn't get the response that they're expecting. You know, you really have to persevere. But also this idea of having this massively big vision that's almost absurd to a lot of people. I was at the Atlanta Startup Battle Mentor Day, and Alan Nance gave a speech to everyone before we kicked it off. And he said, you know, when it came to the pitches at the end of the day, he said, I don't want to hear about that little feature. I want to hear about your big idea. He mentioned, you know, the prior event that so many people, when it came down to the pitch, they pitched a feature versus that big idea. And, you know, that really stuck to me. And sometimes it's out of fear. Like if I tell them the big idea, they won't believe it. And then they'll be, you know, they'll say, walk away. But the little idea might be more believable. And that's where I'll start, just to kind of, you know, get them engaged and reel them in. But I love this idea. It's obviously coming up for multiple people. No, be audacious. Like go out there. Like that's what's going to inspire me, especially when the startup community has so many people playing in it. I want to see the people that come over, that come forward in a really big and bold way. Those are the ones that are going to get my attention and the attention of, you know, a lot of the people that they need to be working with, investors, partners, staff, things like that.
Yes, and I'll add to that. I do think that in order for entrepreneurs to be able to have the audacity to dream big, we, their supporters, as well as the others in the ecosystem, and you know, I'm looking at the investors, I'm looking at the service providers and other enablers. We all need to not dismiss these people when they think big.
Yes.
When they dare to think big. We need to be open. Now, I'm not suggesting that investors jump on every big audacious idea and invest in those ideas. I'm suggesting that they don't dismiss the person for those big ideas, but to be open and to be receptive and to keep an open mind and to be encouraging. Because even if that person's big idea is terrible, it's just not going to work because it's not just out there, but it's absurd, but in a bad way, not in a good way. May that person, if we encouraged him or her, could possibly come up with something else that could work, that will work. So you never know. And it's something that, you know, I struggle with. The pragmatic side of me and the dreamer side of me struggles with on a day-to-day basis, coaching companies and coaching startups and meeting with them, is knowing when to encourage that thinking, that audacity, but yet also providing the guardrails and a framework to be thinking about how to bring that vision to life. It's a very fine line.
Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility as a mentor when you realize that someone is, you know, really opening themselves up and really heeding your advice. But wow, like that's something I know I'm really going to take away with me is this, you know, what you just mentioned, like being open to hearing these big ideas, because I think we've all had an idea, especially in hindsight, that we had this big vision, and over time with the right people, with the right resources, it got molded into something different, but still inspired by that original thought. And that's where a lot of people come to us. They have this big idea. Now it needs, you know, it needs some molding, and it needs people to pour into it to become, you know, even more and definitely to gain the momentum. And we as a community need to provide the environment for that to happen.
So looping it back to women.
Yes.
So female founders, we have a pretty decent pool of female executives in large companies in positions of authority who have the ability to encourage female founders. It's a question of whether, of how, of directing those individuals and making them aware of the opportunities for them to engage. So there are those who have made it. They've made it in their career. There are who may want to give back. They may not necessarily know where or how to channel their energies or their monies or both. And I think to the extent that we as females can find ways to encourage and channel the executives, these female executives, and let them know of the different opportunities for them to make a difference, to make an impact beyond their own careers, that will lift the entire community. So
that's beautiful. Well, and there's definitely, a lot of organizations out there that are focusing on this, bridging the gap between the people who need mentoring and the people who have so much experience to turn around and give back. And so I thank you for being a part of one of them. Just thank you for being here on the show today. You have so many important things going on, not just exciting things going on, but very important things to this Atlanta startup community that I know has been so good to me and to so many. And so I really do thank you for sharing that and your perspective on today's show.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm just glad that the 85 meltdown didn't melt down this interview.
Almost. No, we weren't going to let it get in the way. That's for sure. So if anyone is interested in connecting with you, where should they go?
TEDxPeachtree.com would be the best place to go.
Love it. Good. Thank you so much for being here. Check out Quattro de Mayo, you guys. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.